This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to you all. I'm so glad to be with you again this morning. I'm Pastor Brian de Villiers, and as we gather around the Word of God this morning, as we're going to be taking up a new series, we're going to be speaking about studies on the life of Christ. And today I want to start with the glory of His person. And we read from Hebrews chapter 1, and we read here from verses 1 to 14. It says, "And God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world, who being in the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, and He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did He ever say, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you,' and 'I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son'? And when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, 'Let all the angels of God worship him.' And all the angels, He says, 'Who makes His angels spirits, and He ministers a flame of fire?' But to the Son, He says, 'Your throne, O God, is for ever and ever, a scepter of righteousness in the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And the Lord in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak you will fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail. But to which of the angels has He ever said, 'Sit at my right hand till you make your enemies your footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister by those who will inherit salvation?" And so here we hear the words from the book of Hebrews. And we're speaking this morning about the glory of His person. And in our studies, we need to carefully chosen theme on the person and the life of Jesus, which we will concentrate our attention upon today, the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we approach each study, let our prayer be, as it says to us in John 12, verse 21, "And when these Greeks came and said, 'Sirs, we would see Jesus.'" Sirs, we would see Jesus. Because of the greatness and the majesty of the person we are to consider, and because of the nature, the scope, perfection, eternal significance of His work, it's impossible to overemphasize the importance of this series of studies on the life of Jesus. The greatest question which can force itself upon us is in Matthew 22 and 42. "What do you think about Jesus? Whose son is he?" And that question faces us now. It is the question of supreme importance, because what we think of him will determine what he will do with us. And we need to hear that this morning. "What shall I do with Jesus, called the Christ?" The words of Pontius Pilate. "What shall I do with Jesus, who is the Christ?" And what we do with him will determine how we are going to be dealt with ourselves in the end. Because we have a choice The choice is this: we accept him or we reject him. What think you of Christ is the test to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. And that's the truth. How do you think about Jesus? We begin then with the consideration of the unique nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. The question we ask is, who is Jesus Christ and what is his nature? And with the Word of God in our hands, we need to understand this clearly, because we read here again from the Word of God in John 5:39. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. And with the Spirit of God in your heart, we need to understand it. If we turn again in the Word of God this morning to John's Gospel, and John's Gospel chapter 16, and this is what John's Gospel says to you and to me, 14 and 15. We read it here, chapter 16, verse 14 and 15. He will glorify me, for he'll take what is mine and declare it to you. And all things the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So we will know and we will understand who Jesus is, because we have the revelation of him through the Word of God. We shall seek to answer the question of questions. There are, of course, many ways of approaching the study of the person of Christ. For instance, to study any one of the following would reveal something of the glory of his person and the greatness of his work. Number one, think about it this morning. He's glorious as the eternal, unchanging one. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ yesterday, today, the same forever. He does not change. He is glorious in the names and titles that he has been given. And when we turn again to God's Word and we read here from Isaiah chapter 9, and this is what it tells us: for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. So we see the names of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we could take a long time to even go through those names. He's glorious in his relationship to the Godhead, because John's Gospel tells us in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's the revelation we get from the Word of God. He's glorious in the claims which he made for himself. We need to understand that very clearly, what Jesus says about himself. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I'm not just a way, I am the way. I am not just truth, I am the truth, and I am the life. He is glorious in the experience of his people. He's the Savior, the Shepherd, the Friend, and the Lord. That's who Jesus is. He's glorious in the perfection of his redeeming work, what he's done for us. In Jude, it tells us, verse 24, now unto him is able to keep us from falling, present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He's glorious in the place of glory, which now occupies and ever will occupy. What does it say to us in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3? It says this, who being in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. What has he done? He's purged our sins. He's paid the price. He has sat down at the right hand of the majesty of high. We have a man in glory this morning, the man Christ Jesus, because he ascended on high and he's now sat down. His work is finished and he has sat down at the right hand of the Father on high. But in the limited scope of the study, let us ask, what is the essential unique characteristics of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ? It is this. He is at the same time perfectly human, absolutely divine. He holds within himself the two natures in perfect poise, balance, each in full completeness. He is the very God and very man. That's the testimony of 1 Timothy 3:16, and that is what it tells us, and we need to read it because this is what 1 Timothy tells us. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says this to us this morning. It says this, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we read there from verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed in the world, received up in glory. Do you get that this morning? He's the one that's been received up in glory. But the doctrines of the perfect humanity of Christ and the absolute deity of Christ are clearly stated in the divine revelation. And let us consider these now. Number one, the perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1900 years ago, he who had ever been with the Father and one with him in essence and nature, he came to earth. I said that already in John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's revealed himself. He became flesh, and he dwelt amongst us. In Galatians 4 verse 4, it tells us that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law. And when he came to earth, he was born just like other children. We read that in the account. And Jesus was born. He was brought forth through the Virgin Mary. He was born in a stable, but he was born like all of us come into this world. And we need to be clear about that. And he grew in wisdom and stature with God and man. He was subject to the laws of human development in his body and soul. And as he moved amongst men, he spake like a man. He looked like a man. That's what we are told. He was subject to the frailties of human nature apart from sin. Hunger. You remember, he went into the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days. And he was a man. He was hungry. And he could have turned those stones into bread. But he didn't. He didn't. Yes, he faced temptation. But you know what? He did not yield. And his death, he died upon a cross because he came to be the Savior of the world, and he took your sins and my sins to Calvary's cross, and he paid the price in full for our redemption. But he was the perfect man altogether. He was without sin. We need to hear that again and again. He was without sin. Yes, he was, and he's truly man, for although he had been down into death, he has risen again in a perfect human body. He had a resurrection body. That's where he went to when the disciples were gathered together in fear of the Jews. He passed through the door. The door was shut, the Bible tells, but he came into their presence, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And then he was taken. You remember, we've just had Ascension Day not so long ago. And the angels came and said, "Ye men of Galilee," from Acts 1, "why do you gaze into heaven? The same Jesus that is gone into heaven will come again." He's coming again. We have a man in glory, the man Christ Jesus. And that's what the Word of God tells us. And we inspired to know that He is 100% God, 100% man, and we have a man in glory. He's taken up bodily, the resurrection body. He's gone into heaven. And that we see indeed, the man Christ Jesus. Scripture declares that He's the man, and in very truth He's God. He's a man Christ Jesus, but the truth is that He is God. Number two, the absolute deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus did not become God in the fullness of time. In the order to become the Redeemer, He became man. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. But He was always God, one with the Father, one with the Spirit. And we need to understand that clearly in our understanding. And while the child was born, the Son was given. The Son was ever the one who came to Bethlehem. The Son was given in the form of a child. And repeatedly in the New Testament, He's spoken of by Himself and by others as the Son of God. He's the divine Son of God. Five times it says He's the only begotten Son of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why do I say that? Because He's the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And so we have this description of the Lord Jesus Christ again. We have seen that He was 100% man, but He was 100% God. At Caesarea Philippi, Peter made his great confession, do you remember that? Which our Lord stated had been given by divine inspiration. He allowed Peter to acknowledge Him as the Christ, the Son of the living God. In Matthew chapter 16, when they came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He said to them, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do people say? What's their opinion about?" They said, "Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you are Jeremiah. Some say you are Elijah." And He answers them and He says, "But who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Peter replied, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And He says to him, "Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father in heaven has revealed this to you." And He says to him, "On the confession of your faith, of who I, the Christ, am, on that confession, I'm going to build My church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And think of the I Ams. What did God say to Moses in Exodus when He said, "What shall I tell the children of Israel? Who has sent me to tell them that we should leave the land of bondage of Egypt?" He says, "Tell them, I am who I am. I am the one that was and will be and ever will be. I'm the one that's telling them that." Think of the I Ams in the Gospel of John, what Jesus says. And I just want to just quote a few for you this morning. Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world." That's what Jesus tells us. He says, that's why I am the bread of life. If you eat this bread, you'll never be hungry again. That's who I am, says Jesus. What do these mean if He is not God? I am. He's saying the same thing. Think of his miracles, signs that attested his deity. He turned water into wine at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. You can read it in John 2, verses 1 to 11. He healed the widow's son, raised him to life again, and made man whole. That's what Jesus, he fed the multitudes. He fed over 5,000 with three loaves and two fishes. That's what he did. He stilled the waters on the stormy Galilee. He was asleep on the pillar. And his disciples had said, "Lord, don't you care that we perish?" And he speaks to the winds and the wave. He gave sight to the blind. He raised the dead. All of which demonstrate that he was Lord over time, distance, disease, growth, gravitation, nature's defects, and death itself. That's what it tells you. Do you not want to say about Jesus, "My Lord and my God"? You remember doubting Thomas? He says, "Unless I put my hands in his hands and his side to feel where he was pierced, I will..." And he says to him when he touches him, "My Lord and my God." He's the creator. He's the upholder of all things. He's the one that forgives us all our sins. That's what the Word of God tells us. Surely you will agree that all this testimony to his deity is overwhelming. But let me ask you this in closing this morning. What is your attitude towards Jesus? Remember the words of Matthew 22:42. What do you think about Jesus Christ, who is, whose son he is? What do you think about Jesus this morning? Have you come to the realization that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of the living God? And have you ever yielded your life to Jesus Christ? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and into your life? The Word of God tells me in Revelation 3:20, he stands at the door and he knocks. He's a gentleman. He'll never barge into your life. He wants you to open the door and to invite him in. John chapter 1 and verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons and the daughters of God, whosoever believes on his name." That's what it tells me. What will you do with Jesus this morning? Will you accept him as the divine Son of the living God? Will you ask him to come into your heart and into your life this morning? Let's pray as we end this morning. And we've spoken about the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Your word is the truth. And we've heard the truth about Jesus, who he is. He was man and he was God. And he came to die in our place on Calvary's cross, pay the price for all our sins. That's why he's the Savior. We realize this morning we need a Savior to save us. And so we open our lives to him, our hearts to him, and we receive him into our lives. He now becomes present possession. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming in and for saving me. Amen. If you pray that prayer, you become a part of God's family today. If we can help you in any way, please contact Radio Cape Pulpit 021-180-5744, 021-180-5744. Or you can contact me, Pastor Brian, on 021-552-4096. 552-4096 from Monday to Thursday from 9 a.m. to 12. God bless you. And remember that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of the living God. Thank you. Have a good day.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.